All right, good to see you this morning, family. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. Good we could come by. We thank the Lord for the privilege to come and by, being around you folks this morning on this good Lord's Day. If we get done with the service before Jesus comes, amen. I want you to get what God has to say to you this morning out of the Word of God. Amen. You found 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me, please, if you will, at verse 9 and following. Could you stand? Let me read you a piece of this Bible. I'm glad to be in front of you this morning, but I don't want you to hear me. I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear God, okay? Now, I want you to pray for us, but I want you to hear God. Mom and I is fixing to start our 37th year of evangelism next month. And we've been at it a long, long time. And we've heard a lot of men preach. And a lot of churches have heard men preach. But it ain't men. It's God Almighty that's going to change our lives. Amen. As we've seen testifying here, changing of a life. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Is that you this morning?
Amen.
"But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but a spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, compared spiritual things with spiritual." Heavenly Father, what we really need this morning, Lord, is just a real visitation of the Holy Ghost amongst this crowd. Not just here, but Lord, my preaching Virginia, my preaching brethren everywhere bringing message. They need the Holy Ghost to have liberty and freedom. I pray that nobody will quench him or grieve him, God, but we'll just listen and focus this morning. Oh, there's a lot going on, God, out yonder in the culture. There's a lot going on, Lord, in the politic world, God. There's a lot going on everywhere. But Heavenly Father, this is the moment of focus upon the things of God. So I'm asking, Lord, to help us put out of our minds that which is coming next or that which has already been, God. Let's not think about that. Let's think about what you're trying to tell us. Father, I want you to help us understand this great thing called salvation this morning. Take your Bible. Show us what you meant when you wrote it. Show us, Heavenly Father, how it can apply. Show us, Heavenly Father, how it'll save the lost. Show us, Heavenly Father, how it'll help the saved to live the better life, God. I'm asking, Lord, for light in a world filled with darkness. I'm asking, God, for light in a heart that's filled with darkness in our day. I'm asking, Lord, for the power of God to be freed on us this morning. In Christ's name we ask it, my Lord. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. As we look there again at verse 9, we see a bright future. The Bible says here, we ain't seen it or heard it, but it ain't even in our heart. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, we look at heaven with an eye of faith. We look towards eternity with an eye of faith. But God right there says, you really don't know what it's going to be like. And we don't. We enjoy this down here. You're fixing to have you a spell when Brother Mark gets here. I've known Mark Thren since he was a little fella, okay? So you be sure to tell that rascal hi when he gets here for me. Would you do that, please? But dear family, as much as Brother Mark can bring the Word of God and your good pastor brings you the Word of God, this is just but a scratch, if you will, a glimpse, if you will, just a piece, if you will, of what's going to happen when we face the real preacher, When we get home to the real preachers preaching, amen. Now, we try to let him in the Holy Ghost. We try to let him preach while we're down here. But I want you to realize something. We've got a bright future, but we just really don't know yet what it's going to be like when we get home. We got verse 10. We got the Lord God revealing to us by his Spirit. And so we find here not only a bright future in verse 9, but the best instructions in verse 10. Now, the culture has their instructions, do they not?
Right.
And old Uncle Joe and their politickers, they've got their instructions,
right,
do they not?
Right.
And today's area, if you will, I'll use the area here. I don't know about you loved ones, but I'm sure it's everywhere. You've been fighting compromise and wilderness in this Alabama country of yours forever and a day. And it seems like, my dear family, we have become the freaks of religion.
You're right.
There was a day when the compromisers and the worldlings were the oddballs. But now they're all joining up together, and they're the so-called normal of our day. Anything goes, anywhere goes, anybody goes, any time goes, and whatever goes. And yet we're the oddballs who try to hold the line with God Almighty and walk holy according to the Word of God. We've got the best instructions because we've got the best teacher.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost of God's the best instructor, the best professor you ever knew in your life was the Holy Ghost of God. He said, "Preacher, what are you saying now? I'm trying to get you to understand something." This best teacher talks of us in verse 13. "Things also we speak, not in words of which man's wisdom teacheth." We've got a lot of folks, I pray it's not true around here, but we've got a lot of folks across the lands as Mama and I travel, and folks ask us just absolutely the dumbest questions. The dumbest questions. I had a woman one time, speaking of this weed joint you got coming on, I had a woman one time up in a New York church stand up to testify and told me that God told her that she was allowed to smoke weed because God put it in the ground for her to smoke. And I said, "True, but it was the wrong God." And it fried her gizzard. She got madder than a hornet and stormed out of the church. Gang, listen, they've got all kinds of instruction. They got all kinds of stuff going on. And I'll be honest with you, dear family, they swear up and down it's absolute truth that they got it from the Lord.
Yeah.
But it wasn't from the Lord of that Bible. It was not from our God. Are you listening to me, family? This is not a day in which you and I can be what we want to be. This is a day and age where you and I submit,
right,
surrender, yeah, become subject to the Holy God of glory. You said, "Preacher, I don't know whether that's true or not." You will to judgment.
Right.
When you face Him who God is, my dear family, and you bring your life to Him that's not under the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to would to God that you listen to what He said.
Right.
His Spirit was placed in you and I, not only just to escort us to heaven when the rapture comes, but it's to teach us on a daily basis how we're supposed to live in this untoward world.
Right.
This world is crazy.
Yes,
upside down, inside out, all messed up. Can you not agree with that? It ain't the world me and you grew up in. It ain't the world you and I were born in, all right? I'm 72 years old now, and it ain't the world I grew up in. There was halfway common sense when I was a boy. That seems to have gone out the window somewhere. I don't know where it went to, but it's gone now. I got three little thoughts for you, all right? Now listen, I get... the preacher's time now, and then the nursing home time later, added together, amen, and give you this whole message, all right? Now stay with me. I'm not going to keep you long, all right? Listen, if you will, please, to the Word of God. What does this salvation do? What is this thing called salvation that I need to understand? What's the deal that I have not seen yet, heard yet, it ain't in my heart yet? What is it that I'm trying to figure out what is? It ain't just the destination settled.
Right.
I didn't get saved to keep out of going to hell. I didn't get saved to go to heaven. I get saved to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that relationship, my dear family, I find I have a helper in my living. Go with me to Psalm 119 and let's get into these three thoughts. Psalm 119, please, in your Bibles. You say, "Preacher, how can I understand salvation?" Well, you must understand, dear family, first of all, that you are a hell-deserving sinner.
That's right.
You have to understand that. If you ain't never been a sinner, and I've met some that ain't,
yeah,
I met some of the perfect women of our day, perfect children of our day, perfect men of our day that have never sinned. They told me that at least. And of course, you know, I said, well, you just did.
Yeah, right.
But you got to admit that. And in that admission of sinfulness, you got to come to God in humility. God has never saved a rebel. More than two. God has never saved a rebel.
Amen.
Everybody ever got saved in that Bible? Humbled himself before a thrice holy God. This day and age, we chew bubble gum and skip down the aisle, look back, make sure everybody's watching when we get saved. That ain't salvation. You can't get saved in pride. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And you got to humble yourself. You got to have a contrite spirit. You got to realize you've offended a thrice holy God in order for him to even begin the process. You got to come to God in humility. I'm talking about crawling on your guts as a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. You said, preacher, why should I do that? Because, my dear family, you'll never appreciate Calvary until you appreciate how wicked you are. You'll never enjoy what he did for you until you realize you really need it.
Yeah.
Until you understand how very vile and ungodly and unkept and uncouth you and I really are, my dear family, without Christ. You ain't never going to need a Savior. We're living in the world right now, Laodicea, and I'm fixing to preach a meeting over in Washington, Mississippi at the end of the month, and I'm preaching on Laodicea. And the Lord God Almighty has busted that word up in seven messages. He's busted that word up in seven messages that fits today's world in which you and I are living in. And my dear family, I'm telling you, we're in the EA of Laodicea. We're at the end of our journey. Me and Brother Charlie Andrews used to say all the time, we'd call each other all the time, and we'd say, listen, how you doing? I said, doing fine. And I said, how you doing, Brother Charlie? So I'm tired. And we'd talk a while, and he said, Brother Don, we're on the end of our trip. We ain't starting out like we did 40-plus years ago now. We're at the end of our journey. He said, preacher, what do you say? I'm saying, my dear family, this salvation, we have to understand who we are first. And then we have to understand who he is. He is God Almighty wrapped in flesh and died on that cross and rose again from that grave that third day to justify me in the eyes of God the Father. He's the one who shed his perfect blood to wash away my unrighteousness and my sins. It ain't just some story out of the Bible. It ain't some Sunday school lesson out of the Bible. That is God Almighty that we're going to face one day. He said, preacher, we got to understand all. I know that. And once we get to there, then there's repentance. You got to quit being your own God. You got to scrap being your own God. You got to junk being your own God. And you got to come to Jesus Christ and say, God, I am not. You got to come to God in repentance and faith. You got to believe that he is. You got to understand who he is. And you got to come to him and repent. God, I don't want the world no more. I don't want me no more. I don't want what I've had no more. Everything I've touched, I've messed up, I've ruined, I've destroyed, I've defiled. It's ungodly, it's undue. I don't want nothing to do with that. Dear God, would you help me? And God says, I sure will, son. Turn around. And we turn around and we go to God, leaving that behind. Are you listening to me, gang? No repentance, no salvation.
Amen.
But you ain't going to repent till you're convicted. And if you ain't wrong, you'll never be convicted. You got to get wrong to get right. God help me. Faith. Come into Christ. And that's only the beginning. It ain't the end of it. It's the beginning of it. Moment by moment since that time, since the moment of salvation, God Almighty, because you're now born again by the grace of God through faith, he now gives you, number one, a purpose for living. Psalm 119:34 and 35 says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I'm talking about understanding salvation this morning, if I may. My eyes not seen it. My ears not really heard it. It ain't entered into my heart yet what God has for me because I love God so. But yet, my dear family, God gives me glimpses and gives me pieces and parts, if you will, please, to go through this life with a purpose now. For I was saved by the grace of God in 77. I was a drunk truck driver. I had no purpose of life. Are you listening to me, my dear family? I cared nothing about nobody, no how, no where. And I finally got to the place where I didn't care about myself. Talking about that wine back in the Sunday school hour. I wasn't a wino, okay, but I was a beer-o and a whiskey-o, okay, how about that? And it nearly killed me. Are you listening to me, gang? I didn't draw a sober breath for years upon years upon years upon years. I was at the end of my rope. There was no more knots to hold on to. I was done, my dear family. And Mama and I and the children were at the house there. I got out of the truck and got a job in an oil refinery. And bang, 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 somebody knocking on my door. And they took that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And they showed me, and they showed me him, and they showed me life, and they showed me what it was to be saved by the grace of God, and I had to have some understanding. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I was sick of me, sick of my life, sick of the job, sick of my being broke, sick of being stupid, sick of going to hell, sick of the darkness, sick of the doubt, sick of the fears, sick of everything. And I came to God. I said, God, I do not understand. And then boys started to Genesis, went to the Revelation and showed us all of that. 8:05 on that Monday night, I laid, sat down behind my chair, beside my chair, and Mom was on the other side, and I cried out to God Almighty. What part I understood. He had died for me on the cross. He had rose again from that grave. I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and I had no hope, no help. I was without God in this world. I was doomed and damned and condemned already until I knelt down and said, dear God, I'm sorry. Forgive me my sin and save me, my Lord. And I did not have much understanding, but God Almighty gave me just enough. Oh, not as much as I'm going to have, but just enough. Psalm 119:73. Look at God's Bible here, my family. I'll talk about understanding salvation. I'm going to back up, if I may, in verse 71. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. The psalmist said, it's good that I've been afflicted. You, dear ones, don't you understand this? Understanding salvation, you've got to be afflicted with the sin disease. You've got to have the holy doctor say, you've got no hope. You've got to have the holy physician say, you ain't got long to live. You've got to have the holy physician show you that your disease and your ailment is fatal. Sin is fatal. The wages of sin is death. Sin is fatal. And the Holy Ghost, the holy doctor, if you will, please, must afflict you with the truth of the matter. You're done, you're finished, you're dead. 2016, a doctor walked into my room in Canton, Ohio, shaking his head. He said, you won't see December if something don't happen quick. 2016. He said, we don't do something right now, you ain't going to make it to Christmas. I said, well, then get on it. He said, it don't seem to bother you. I said, no, I'm going home with Mama, I'm going home with Jesus. It ain't no big deal. Just have at it. He said, you don't understand. He said, you're eat up with cancer. I said, well, I figured something was wrong. I ain't felt good for a while. And they started with their treatments. And God started with his treatments. Yeah. And he gave me the worst kind of chemo there is. I mean, the killer, red devil. Kills everything it touches. Hits that body, kills everything it touches. He said, preacher, what'd you do? I also had the other treatment. Lord God Almighty was in that room, and he said this. He said, while you're here, son, you might as well talk about me. Amen. So I put my gospel tracts in my nightgown pocket. Yeah. Everybody walked in that room. Here, I want you to know something. God loves you. Here, I want you to understand something. The Lord God died for you. I want you to understand something. You said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, my dear family, listen to me. For the child of God, the understanding comes when God Almighty gives you a purpose of life. My purpose of life was not to live and die of cancer. My purpose of life is to glorify and magnify the Lord God Almighty. My purpose of life is to worship Him and praise Him no matter where I am. We transferred to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and the same thing there. Now listen to me. Ain't no one of you ever probably volunteered to go through the cancer ward witnessing to people. But I did. They'd bring them to my room. The nurses would say, listen, you need to go down and talk to that guy in 601. You'll like it when you go down. And they'd send me nurses to witness to. What was you doing, preacher? I had a purpose in life. I had a life worth living. Why? Because when God saved me, He gave me life worth living. Amen. I want you to realize something, my dear family. True salvation gives you an understanding. What am I down here for? But to glorify and magnify God Almighty, no matter what's going on, whatsoever you do. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So many times, my dear family, God's people lose their purpose. Sometimes widow women lose their purpose. Sometimes widow men lose their purpose. Sometimes old, feeble preachers lose their purpose. Sometimes their minds go, and sometimes their bodies go, and they lose their purpose. But dear family, listen to me. Our God saved us with a purpose in His mind, and all the way out, all the way to home, we've got a reason to live.
Amen.
Number two, it brings us to the path of greatness. Proverbs chapter 1 says these words to you and I, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall obtain under wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Are you looking at it with me? I want you to realize, my dear family, you and I have been blessed in the understanding of salvation. It gives us a purpose of life, but it also creates a path to greatness. Go to chapter 2 of Proverbs and listen to the word of God. My son, is that you this morning?
Amen.
Come on, you saved by the grace of God or not, all right? My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Pay attention what the Holy Ghost wrote down here. Receive my words, hide my commandments, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. There's our word again. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. There it is again. If thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. I need to understand about the fear of the Lord. Well, look at the verses. Look at the verses. Cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice for understanding. God, I don't understand it all. God said, well, your eye ain't going to see it, your ear ain't going to hear it, and it ain't going to enter into your heart just yet. You love me? We all look at God and say, yes, Lord. You know I love you. Do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me?
Right.
Remember the story? Three times. How many times has God asked me and you that? How many times has God, when we're standing in doubt and fear and wonder about it all, how many times has God looked at us and said, do you love me? Yeah, Lord. And He said, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then we go right outside the doors of this house and break a commandment.
Yep.
Go right outside the doors of the house, go home and break a commandment. Go home and get in the other life. Go home and live in the other world. Go to the job and live in the other world. Go to town and live in the other world. There's only one world for God's people, and that's the world of God Almighty. That's the God is God Almighty. That's the kingdom of God Almighty. No matter where we are, what we're doing, it is all of God. Listen to your Bible then. Then shall I understand to fear the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. I talk about a path to greatness. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shall thou understand. There's our word again. Then shall thou understand righteousness. When? When God gives you the wisdom. When God, my dear family, helps you walk uprightly. When God keeps you in paths of judgment. One of the greatest wisdom pieces I was ever given in my life, Earl Hughes said, always walk in the fires of God's judgment. It'll keep you out of a mess. I promise you will. If you realize that every time you turn around, you're looking at Jesus Christ, you won't turn around and mess up. You'll stay with God Almighty. Listen to the Word of God. Then shall I understand righteousness and judgment and equity and yea, and every good path. So many of God's people in our day and age, my dear family, because of compromise and worldliness, they use God's blessings and grace to get out of trouble. Only after they get caught, instead of staying out of trouble, walking on the path of God Almighty. When wisdom enters in thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. What are you saying, Brother Don? I'm saying to understand salvation is to understand how to be saved, sure. And then life after salvation is a purpose. We got something to do. And then next is a pathway to greatness. Now, we don't boast of our greatness. We don't brag. We don't go up and down I-65 making sure everybody knows how great we are. But what we do is we just live for God as God's Bible dictates, and it is God that calls us great. You remember a woman in the Old Testament scripture that God Almighty says there was a great woman. She was simply a housewife. She was simply one who loved God and loved the men of God. And she asked her husband, let's build a little place for the preacher. And God called her a great woman. He said, preacher, what did she do was so magnificent? Had her husband build a room. Gave him a bed to sleep in, a table and a chair to sit on. All she did was the common normal thing of courtesy. And God called her great. So many times we neglect, my dear family, the path of greatness. We got this popularity deal we got going on or something, and we want to look great in the eyes of man and look big in the eyes of man. And I'm going to tell you point blank, a bigger than us is going to come by one day, and we're going to look like grasshoppers in front of him. I don't need to be great down here. I tell people all the time in the meetings, I say, listen, I said, do me a small but unique favor. They said, okay, what? I said, don't put my name on the bulletin. Down Mississippi one time, the little lady that put the thing out on the billboard. Now, please don't get mad at me. The little lady put the thing out on the billboard. She said, Brother Don, what do you want me to put out there at the road about the revival meeting coming up? I said, put out there in the road, come hear what God has to say. Now, listen to me. Pride has ruined our Baptist churches in the last 30 years.
Right.
We got too big for our britches. We got too popular for our deal. And all of a sudden, come here.
Yeah.
No, let's not come here. Let's come get in the presence of God Almighty. And who he uses back here, Brother Mark's coming on Wednesday. But don't you dare come because of Mark Flynn. You come because God Almighty is your Father and your Lord and your Savior. And he's making a pathway of greatness for you to live on. He's making a pathway of greatness for you to deal with. Go to Proverbs, if you will, please. Chapter 15. Let me show you the third one, all right? Here we come. Ready? Chapter 15, verse 21. Salvation not only brings understanding, salvation brings a purpose to life. Then not only brings a path to greatness. But number three, my love, it brings power to live right.
Amen.
You said, preacher, that's a hard thing to preach. Well, it is a hard thing to preach. Because again, because of the great war. And me and your good pastor and the other men of God in here that bring message are not after you because we're just meaner and rougher than what you think. Our job is to prepare you for the judgment seat of Christ. That's my job. As an evangelist, I come in to water the seed that the man of God plants. I don't bring anything new under the sun, just maybe a bigger mouth and a longer strip of it. All right? But it's nothing new. Because there ain't nothing new under the sun. It's all been preached before, but way better than me. But I'm here to tell you right now, my dear family, we're living in a very precarious culture. And I'm not talking about outside these walls. I'm not talking about Hayden, Alabama. I'm not talking about Birmingham, Alabama. I'm talking about in the church. I'm talking about the culture of the new church. The culture of today's so-called church, which, by the way, is not church at all because it has no head. I am now starting to find churches where the pastor resigns or moves off or whatever, and they have decided now that this brother's going to preach on Sunday morning, and this brother's going to preach on Sunday night, and this brother's going to bring the Wednesday night message, and that's how they like it. You know why? No authority. We will not have this man to reign over us. The old-fashioned down home in your face, hellfire and brimstoner is coming off the scene.
Right.
Becoming distinct. I mean, we're losing right and left. The new modernized, homogenized, pasteurized, no-tie-eyes, sandalized, short eyes, little tank top shirt eyes. That's the guy that's now taken over the so-called churches. No respect for the house of God, ways of God, book of God, people of God. And the congregation goes no further than the man of God. So we're living in a day, my dear family, where it's a real struggle. Men are fighting it right and left. They're going to fight it, but I'm also around some men, used to be around some men. I was with two of them, Brother Preacher. I was with two of them one time. We were sitting around jibber-jabber-chawing, and one said, "How's the other?" And the other said, "I'm fine. How are you? Doing well." And he said, "What are you doing now?" He said, "Ain't doing nothing." He said, "I'm just going to coast out, get my check, and coast out." And I sat there and did a slow burn. Zip my mouth. So, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? Come on, love. You work in the public, right? You go to the area, right? Does the area need more preaching or less preaching? Do they need harder preaching or lighter preaching? Do they need in your face, you're not right with God preaching? Or do they need a blanket preaching? You know, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. That's a great Bible verse. But what happened, Brother Steve? Can I use you? Would you let me? I've known you ever since you was a baby. Can I walk down the aisle and say, "Listen, what you're doing ain't right, and I'm telling you flat out, it's against God, and you need to stop it." Where'd that preaching go? Now, I'm just using an example. He ain't doing nothing, all right? But I'm just trying to tell you something, gang. We have lost something in our... Now, if you've got that kind of guy here, thank God for you, okay? It's the first time I've been here, so I don't know nothing. So I just rare. Okay? I know some of y'all. I've known y'all ever since you was ever since. Ain't that right? But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the wages of sin is still death. You ain't going to raise them fine children of yours unless there's some strength and some strong preaching to keep you two straight, because you two are guiding these ones. You should bring away time to him. I'm trying to tell you, true salvation, if I understand it correctly, if I'm getting this understanding right, it creates a purpose for every child of God to get saved. It creates a path to greatness that every child of God can become, if you will, a great child of God. I'm not talking about a great Christian. I'm talking about a great child of God. There's a lot of folk that claim Christianity, but the child of God is different.
Right.
A Christian can be part of the whole, but a child of God is locked into the Father. Amen. And you and I need to lock into the Father. Are you listening to me, my love? Proverbs 15:21. This is what God's Bible says. Folly is a joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. If I understand what salvation is supposed to do, salvation is supposed to keep me from iniquity. Not let me pet it. They that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I thought that's what I read somewhere. Someplace I read that. I'm just trying to get you to understand. What salvation does is not just save you to go to heaven. What salvation does, it gives you opportunity. It gives you a choice. Listen, when I was a drunk truck driver, I had no choice. I was of my father, the devil. What my father wanted, that's what I did, and I went at it full force. 100%, absolute. Yes, sir, let's get her done. And me and him did it all. He said, Preacher, what are you saying? I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a good and a bad. I had a bad and a bad and a worse.
Right.
And every time that thing got worse and worse and worse, I thought about it. Every time somebody get on a CB or in a honky tonk or in a truck stop and they told me where I was headed and told me to go there, I thought about it, but I thought church and all this stuff is for old gray-headed sick folk that are just about ready to die. Ain't for me. I'm young and full of vim and vigor and raring to go and full of it. And I thought, that ain't for me. That can't be for me because that's got to be for those who are going to die. I ain't going to die. I'm going to go right on and live and be and do and fight and drive and drink and go and be. And I thought, nowhere in my mind was any choice until the men came to our house that night and told us this Bible. When they came to the house and showed me the scriptures, I don't have to do this.
Amen.
Now, by that time, I had nearly quit drinking. Honestly, I had nearly quit drinking by the time them men came to our house, okay? I still did, but a whole lot less than I used to. I was sick of it. But when they sat down that night and showed me Christ, showed me salvation, showed me sin, showed me Christ, showed me salvation, showed me life. And they said, you know, you can be saved if you want to. And I said, you're kidding me. In fact, if you knew where me and Mama's been before you got here, you wouldn't even be in this house with us. Just do something with the kids. Me and her are too far gone. Just do something with these children. So no. We've come to talk to you. I said, but you don't know how wicked I am. They said, that don't matter. And as they went through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, they didn't just come and said, you want to be saved, say this, and you can be saved. They didn't, no. They spent time showing. And the more they talked, the more I seen a choice. I've got an opportunity here to do something different. I've got an opportunity to change. I've got an opportunity to get some kind of something that's worth something. I done told you at 8:05, I bowed my knee to Christ. You listen to me close. I didn't just give him my soul. I was sick of my life. I was not sick of my soul. I needed my life fixed. And at 8:05, I became a new creature in Christ. I gave God my life as God gave me his choice. Listen to me, please, if you will. That 21st verse again. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. I had no wisdom in spiritual matters. I could drive a truck. I could drive farm equipment. I pull a fifth-wheel camper now, up and down the highway of life. Have been now for 36 years. By God's grace and help, I can put a camper on a quarter, give you a dime change. I used to put them semi-trailers in holes you couldn't even get a truck in, let alone a trailer. Just God help me with that. Because he knowed. This old dumb hillbilly going to be pulling fifth wheels up down the highway. He better learn how to drive a truck. So preach, what are you saying to me? I'm saying what the Bible goes on to say, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. God in heaven, what are you doing? He said, your eye ain't seen it yet. Your ear ain't heard it yet. Ain't even entered into your heart. I'm just looking at how much you love me. What? I'm looking to see how much you love me. Yeah. You love me good. Okay, you walking uprightly. I would to God I could say to you that we're doing it perfectly every day, every day, every day, but that ain't possible. Because there's an old nature inside of me, and that joker rears up every once in a while. I got to put him back in his hole. So do you. But when I got saved and I understood, I've got a purpose for living now. I've got a path to greatness, and it ain't greatness in man's eyes. It's a greatness in God's eyes. Man, alive, look at this. I can make a choice now, a proper choice. I can choose God. I've got now the power to choose the right way to live. I've got the power to do that. He has given me all power. The Bible said that Jesus said all power is given unto me. Well, then I got Jesus, so I must have all power. He gave me the Holy Ghost of God. Inside of me is God Almighty in the Spirit. Lord, there's a temptation rising up before me. He said, yeah, but what about this verse? And that verse stands between me and that temptation. The temptation is not the sin. The submitting to it is. But that temptation arises, and the Bible verse stands up before me, and God Almighty gives me a Bible verse, and I got the power to receive that Bible verse or receive that temptation. Oh, my dear family, in the power of God, I receive the Bible verse, and God helps me walk uprightly, and God gives me understanding to walk uprightly. Dear God, does this please you? Is this honoring you? Is this glorifying you? Is this magnifying you, God, for me to choose you instead of this? Even if it ain't wrong, God, it ain't the right time. I'm going with you, dear Jesus. Yeah. I remember when God called me to an evangelism. 9 months after I was saved, God Almighty sent me to 2 Timothy 4:5. He said, that's what you are. I said, Lord, that's what I'm going to be. He said, no, son, that's what you are right now. Now you start learning how to do what I've made out of you. That's been 44 wonderful years. Amen. Oh, yeah. I pastored a little old church in West Virginia to learn his heart. I'd have never been able to know a man of God's heart if I hadn't pastored 5.5 years in my home country. To folks who couldn't read the Bible. Didn't have no money. I pastored 5 years without a check. You said, preacher, what'd you do? Went to the woods and shot supper. Lived inside the building. Stayed right there. Learned faith. God, we hungry. Dear God, I need a deer. Lord, you got any squirrels in them trees? Taught the people to tie the gardens. Shot of food, lived in the church, but I could hear that highway. And one day he said, you're done. We'll find a man for the church and you're going to hit the road. I said, good. So we found a man for the church. And we hit the road. No meetings, no money, no place to go. I said, now what? He said, follow me. We went to Fishingville, Virginia, where we're still members. Still there. What ain't broke, don't fix. Still there. Preacher, we're trying to tell me. I'm trying to get you to understand something, gang. Once you understand salvation and all of its many compartments and departments, you realize that there's no greater life than to be saved by the grace of God. There's no greater way to live in all the world than to be saved by the grace of the living God. I mean, listen to me, dear church. Go with me to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. I'm going to try to wrap this thing up and send you home. Proverbs 17, verse 28 and following. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that sheweth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. What? Look at 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. What are you trying to tell me, brother? I'm trying to tell you, dear family, until I understood salvation, until I grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ a little more, and I'm still growing, until I took God at his word and said, God, I don't understand that. And he'd take me in his Bible and show me text by text by text, line upon line, here, there, little there, on and on and on. He said, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. I used to have no fuse. You looked at me cross-eyed, I took your face off. But understanding brought me some patience, long-suffering. Boy, it ain't hard to get sideways with you loved ones. We preach our hearts out, and you go out the door and do exactly what we told you not to do. But understanding the scriptures, understanding the nature of man, understanding the growth level of people, understanding the maturity level of people. I don't expect any lost person to do right. They got no do-righter in them. But I expect the saved to live right. But I also understand not everybody is as mature as the next one beside them. Not every wife is as mature as her husband. Not every husband is as mature as her wife. A lot of folks have a hard time with their children because they don't want their kids any more spiritual than they are. So they keep their kids as dumb as possible so that they can do their deal. But once we understand the scriptures, once we find out what God has to say, now the eye has not seen it, and the ear ain't heard it, and my heart ain't received it as of yet. But I tell you what, I love God. And one of these days at home, I'm going to understand a whole lot of stuff. And so are you. But till I get there, I got the power to live right. Matthew 13, I'm done. Matthew 13, listen to the Word of God, family. I'm talking about what God says over in 1 Corinthians 2. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to start in verse 18, if you will, please. And I want you to show something. I want you to see this. Y'all know the story. Here it is. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, Jesus says. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, there's our word, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. He that receives seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and careth this world. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word, he become unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Wayside ground, stony ground, way off ground, if you will, and good ground. You know, I didn't understand that for a long time. I preached a whole revival meeting on that years ago in a church. And night after night, Brother McAfee, night after night, somebody came up to me and said, Preacher, you trying to tell me I'm lost? I said, no, I ain't telling you nothing. I'm just preaching a book. You don't give us no liberty to live. I said, no, I don't give you no liberty to sin. You got a lot of living. Obey the Holy Ghost and live. Follow the Holy Ghost and live. Read your Bible and live. Pray and live. Be in church and live. I give you all kind of living. What you want to do is have freedom to sin because you're still saved. I won't give it to you. You saying I'm lost? I said, well, let me ask you something. Are you stony? Thorny? How faithful are the house of God? Are you on the wayside of this thing? Are you the outskirts? Are you the fringe member of this church? Are you in the center of it all?
Yeah.
He said, you saying I'm lost? He kept saying that. Are you saying I'm lost? Finally, about the fourth night, he said, preacher, I got to get saved. I said, I know it. Come on, you know what to do. Well, so, I said, no, you don't need somebody. The Holy Ghost of God will lead you to Jesus Christ. Just get up here and be honest. Quit deceiving yourself. Once you get truly saved by the grace of God, you have a partner in the choice-making process. You have the power to choose right from wrong, up from down, in from out, faithful to unfaithful. You make that choice. But you got to get saved first. Because if not, the exterior will help you make your choices.
Right.
Well, son, we're only going to be there one day. And we haven't seen you in 10 years. Well, what day is that? It's just Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Well, how long can you stay? Only a couple hours. Well, I guess I ain't going to get to see you then because I got church at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Why don't you come at 10:30 and come to church with me?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't bring any church clothes. Well, why don't you stick around a few more hours? I mean, where are you going anyhow? Well, we're just going back home. We only live an hour away. Why didn't you come yesterday? Well, yesterday I was, mowing the yard and hoeing the garden and trimming the trees. Well, I'm sorry you ain't going to see me there because I'm going to church.
Yeah.
My man of God's going to preach. My spot is in my chair. I'm going to be in my chair. I'm going to be there egging my preacher man on. See, you didn't have that power before you got saved. You'd have stayed home with Grandma.
Right.
You'd have stayed home with Uncle Jack. You'd have stayed home with Aunt Sue before you got saved. But since you got saved, you got a choice. Do I love Jesus and them? Not or them. Come on, there's no Jesus or family. It's Jesus and family. But the measure of our love is how much we love our family. To stand in a compromised, wicked, worldly culture and say, no, I'm going with Christ.
Amen.
Or to compromise and send them off. And they're thinking in themselves, not much to him. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Come on, baby. Neither hath entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us that love him. Listening? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody listening and looking around. I want to ask you something. Have you lost your purpose? I want to ask you something. Have you stopped trying to be a great Christian? Let me ask you something. Have you neglected to use the power of choice that God gave you when he saved you? Preacher, the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to me this morning and I need some help. Would you raise your hand? Preacher, the Holy Ghost has spoken to me this morning and I need some help. God bless you. Get your hands up. Come on, get your hands up. Get your hands up. Maybe this morning your help is you need to get saved. I don't know. Okay, I don't know you. But I know this. Without Jesus Christ, you're without hope and without God in this present world. You have no help and no hope and no home. You're a homeless vagabond that needs a Savior. You're a sinner that has offended a thrice holy God, and you need Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and save your soul. Preacher, I have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? Be honest this morning. Preacher, I do not walk with God. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Come on. God bless you, girl. God bless you. Who else? Come on, preacher. I don't walk with God. I have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Preacher, would you pray for me? Is there another? Come on. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking. Mama's about to sing, but not yet. You, dear lady, just raised your hand. Would you look at me? God bless you, ma'am. You don't have to stay that way, girl. You don't have to stay that way, ma'am. God will save you. Would you let him do it? Would you come and let somebody take you in the back room somewhere and show you how to be saved? Would you let somebody do that? Just nod your head. Would you let him? Would you come right now? And this is what I want you to do. After we're done, I want you to come see the preacher. I want you to tell him I'm the one that raised my hand. I want some help. After we're done. I know you're too embarrassed to come now. I understand that. After we're done. When everybody's milling around and nobody will see you, come to the preacher and say, preacher, I need some help. Would you do that? Nod your head at me. Would you do that much? God bless you. Sing, Mama.
He's like a river is flowing.
Saints of God,
my soul.
How you doing?
Since Christ, a Savior, has made my life whole. Sweet
preacher,
peace
I need some help.
Abiding, my portion shall be.
The eye has not seen yet.
Jesus, my
no, the ear heard.
Is
what God has in store
me.
For you. Why don't you use his salvation?
I love
let him turn on some more light.
Jesus, with all of my heart, I love thee, Lord Jesus.
Come pray.
With all of my heart.
Come ask God to turn the light on more.
On Calvary,
until you get home when all the lights come on.
Victory, I love
preacher, what should I ask for?
Jesus,
understanding.
With all of my
God, help me
heart.
Understand my purpose.
Joy is abounding.
Help me understand my
prayer
path to greatness.
Sings. Head
God, help me understand
heaven,
the power that I can use to make the right choices.
Wings. Christ has redeemed me. My soul he set free. Jesus,
one day,
my Savior,
at home,
is precious.
We'll see all that he's had for us.
I love
but till then, just ask him for
Jesus,
more light, more understanding,
of my heart,
more help.
I love thee, Lord Jesus.
God's measuring your love, dear family, by the way you live.
Of my heart, for
some love little,
Calvary,
some love much. But all God's children love some.
Love thee, Lord Jesus.
You're not God's
with
child.
All of my heart.
You have no relationship with Jesus.
Oh, precious Jesus.
Come see the preacher after church.
How lovely thou
just tell him you need help.
Art.
He'll help you.
Come in thy fullness and rule in my heart. Break
every we got a bright future, church. We got the best teacher. We got the best instructions of life you could ever get. The Word of God.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
Can you say this from your heart?
With all of my heart.
Come on, can you say this from your heart?
I love you,
Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. For dying on Calvary, for giving me victory, I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. One more verse, Mama. One more verse.
Oh, precious Listen. Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come in thy fullness and rule in my heart. Break every fetter, thy face let me see. Thou shalt forever be precious to me.
Sing the chorus with us. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. For dying on Calvary, for giving me victory. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. Thank you, Mom. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Let's all stand. And what a wonderful service this morning. Thank the Lord for the message.